Thanks for joining us for this bonus session for Mosaic. We're talking with three amazing community leaders about their recent trip to Israel. Patrick, what do you know about Israel today that you didn't before you went on the trip?
I didn't know that Israel was such an agricultural community everywhere. I mean, there was every piece of land that I saw in the valleys, on the mountainsides. It didn't make a difference. They were growing something. And I don't know if it was self-sustaining or for import, export, whatever, but that caught me by surprise because I thought it wasn't that much agriculture going on there.
Melissa, do you have any thoughts?
I didn't realize how diverse the population was. Of course, most of my friends here in the States who are Jewish, of Jewish faith, are white. And so going there and seeing and meeting with, folks of Jewish faith of, tan skin, black skin, white skin.
And the Ethiopian Jews.
Right, the Ethiopian Jews, mm-hmm. and hearing that. And it was just such a diverse, beautiful culture. And I was surprised. I didn't know that.
Speaking of the Ethiopian Jews, we had, I think his name is Naftali Anwar, come and speak to us, and that was enlightening to a lot of the group because mm-hmm. they didn't know about the Ethiopian story and how significant a portion of the population
how they got there was amazing, mm-hmm. and the story that the young man told about his brother and the struggle and the leadership his brother gave to bring people from Ethiopian Jews to Israel was amazing to hear that story.
And one of our colleagues on the trip really thought that they had been brought over to do menial jobs when in fact they came there because they wanted to. That was their homeland, and for generations they had been wanting to come to Israel.
Yes, and mm-hmm. they had freedom, and they're doctors, lawyers, members of Knesset. The brother was a Mossad agent. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. there are issues in the country, but nothing, you can't really relate it to what's going on with minority populations in the United States,
exactly.
was the point that he was making
My
as well.
My other thing was that the food was amazing.
Okay. It was. A lot of it, too.
The food was amazing. I don't think we had a bad meal at all. And it was something that I won't forget because I wasn't expecting that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll add to that. During my time in public service, the part of the county that I represented, it included the Glades community, Belgrade, South Bay, and Pahokee. And such a beautiful community, beautiful people who take care of one another. Mm-hmm. Who, when we used to pull the foster care numbers, you realize that they didn't have a lot of kids in foster care in the Glades community because somebody in the community would take care. They mm-hmm. were family. And being in those hotels and seeing how the hotel management made it an environment as best they could so the children were comfortable, so the moms and the dads were comfortable, and getting the school buses and the charter buses mm-hmm. there so the kids could go to school, setting up the school, and just that feeling of community and supporting one another, that surprised me in Israel, yeah. and I didn't realize how strongly that existed.
Yeah, I think the other thing that caught my eye, especially the second day, first day not so much, but the second day and all through the rest of the week, was how heavily armed everyone was.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit, it puts you on edge a little bit because everybody had a gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay? The military.
Yes, and then when I would see families, a mother and a father in a stroller, and he had a side piece on him, or he had a gun on his shoulder, that made you take another look. But even when the kids were leaving in the buses in the morning to go to school, they were with someone who was armed.
Yes.
Okay. That was a little disheartening to see that, not just in one little space, but everywhere. Okay. So, a little different.
Very different. And you remember, you were in the middle of a war. Mm-hmm. You were safe, but you were still in the middle mm-hmm. of a war zone. Mm-hmm. So let's bring it back to our community. How do we stop the spread of hate here?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do an analogy between doing that here and going to the Western Wall.
Okay. Mm,
okay.
And you see the Muslim community in Islam, and then you see the Jewish community, and you see the Christian community, all in one old city, and how they have coexisted there, and they worship in the same space, and they pray in the same space, and they do so many state ceremonial events in the same space. But as I said earlier, we need to bring everybody who's different than us together and create those spaces to stop the spread of hate in this country.
Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, when we went to the Holocaust Museum, the similarities of what I saw between what was happening in the mid to late 30s in that region and what's happening right now with the uprise of hatred, the uprise of white power, the uprise of so many issues like this that were, I wouldn't say dormant, they were always there, except now it's being accepted that they can voice their opinions outward. Mm-hmm. And what's really disheartening the whole time is that we have political leaders, we have other leaders that are in that have the ability to stop it, are not saying a word.
But we have a voice.
But we have a voice. But also, but those who have the ability of sound mind and body that understand that hatred is not acceptable are not saying a word. And I said, your silence is complicit to saying, I accept that. Okay, so
absolutely.
if you're being silent on the point of white power and divisiveness and everything else that's happening right now, you're just as guilty as far as I'm concerned.
I totally agree, but this was a grassroots effort, and it's our way of taking one step at a time to try and show the world or that the narrative needs to change. And we need to be here for one another and accept people that are different from us and not let this hatred fester. Because the Holocaust is a warning sign.
Mm-hmm.
The lights are in neon lights right now, what's going on. It has to be stopped. Julie, do you want to?
Yes, I mean, we asked our colleagues by coming there to help be better allies against anti-Semitism, but we also need to be better allies for our black neighbors, for other mm-hmm. populations, minority populations. We need to stand up to that and bridge a conversation so that we can see the humanity at the center of all of it.
When we look at hatred, look at all these things that are happening. Look at what's happening right here in our backyard, okay? And if we can't see that clearly, then we need to change our glasses. We need to open our eyes and have a lens clearer.
Well, we need to voice our opinions. Melissa just did a beautiful job of it by writing an op-ed or a letter to the editor at the Palm Beach Post. We need to voice our concerns. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Federation planning future trips for influencers such as yourselves?
It's necessary. It's necessary. You know, and it's... I was very fortunate. I have a boss, David Wantman, who when I went to him and asked if I could take this without having to take vacation time for it, he was 100% agreeable. And he said, you know, what's good for humanity is good for WGI. Yeah. And so I'm very fortunate to work for somebody like that. More employers, I think, need to be flexible if their employees are invited to do something like that, so long as they come back and they share it. But the only way we're going to move the needle is by having people have that firsthand experience and being able to share those stories. But there's one thing. You know, when we went to the kibbutz, the woman who is taking us around, and it was her family that founded that kibbutz, she told us that might be the last trip, our last tour that they gave, because you don't want that to become their tourism. And so on future trips, might have to find a more creative way mm-hmm. to be able to share and show that experience but also not invade on allowing those kibbutz communities to rebuild
forward,
and heal and move forward. Yeah. And so just be cognizant if there are future trips. But if I had the opportunity to do it again, I wouldn't hesitate to say yes.
Julie, I know.
Yes, I think it's really important. And I think, you know, we had talked about what do we do when we come back? You know, it's great to have this trip, but as it gets in the distance, you know, we sort of lose sight of it. And Patrick made a very good suggestion of going on listening tours and bringing together groups of diverse people to have difficult conversations and to be able to feel safe enough to say what they've heard, what they feel, and to listen. You know, listening is the greatest act of love that you can offer someone. And I think really listening to how other people feel will help.
I think a trip for others to experience what we did would be very acceptable. I think we need to continue the lines of communication to be able to sit and have an open conversation. Ask the hard questions. Ask the ones that are on your mind. Ask the ones that the people who you represent say, like, why did you go there? Do you realize that this has happened, this happened? Yes, I do realize that. But I have a clearer picture of the situation and the history behind it. I wish that me as an African-American person, a black person, that our history will be taught as well as the Jewish history has been taught. You know, I think we're missing such a huge part of history. Our kids in a different generation don't know our history, and because you don't know our history, then you have no aspect of what people went through.
Right.
And it just kills me when I talk to our young people right now, and they tell me, "I'm not going to vote this time." I go, "Do you realize what it took for you to get to vote?"
Women too.
Yeah, and the whole nine yards. So if you don't know your history, you're going to repeat it, and then you're going to fall right in your face eventually because you have no idea what's going on. And history repeats itself over and over again.
That's why it's so important that Federation take the lead in trying to help fight against hatred and anti-Semitism in our community. We're trying to take steps to eradicate this and move forward and combat everything that's working in an evil manner here.
Hatred is not acceptable anywhere.
No.
No.
Okay. No. No. But we live in this community and we do our work here. So I think it's imperative that we spread the word and talk and use our voices.
I would like to say one more thing, and I just want to reiterate this. I really am deeply grateful that you all chose to go. I know you had a lot of people telling you not to go, and I think it took courage, and we are truly grateful for that.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity.
You know, there's not too many things that Julie can ask you to do that you can say no to.
Yes.
You know, I will add that I got to know Julie through her work on combating human trafficking. And I realized, being in Israel, how linked these issues of hate and terror are. And so I appreciate being able to
Thank
get
you.
To know you that way.
I met Julie. We were virtual on a task force for the mayor for 1 year.
Oh, during COVID.
And we never met in person until it was over with after one year working together on Zoom calls every 2 weeks, every month. And then we finally met each other. And I remember the night we met each other, we kind of bumped into each other. We're like, oh, that's you. Oh, that is you. Oh, okay.
That is the silver lining of COVID, is we had the ability to be on these Zooms and really get to know people.
Yes.
The only silver lining.
The only, right.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. This was a very important conversation, and hope it's the beginning of many. And the listening tour.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Thank you.